This is the parallax for Thursday, July 30th, 2026. Multiple angles, one picture. Here's what you need to know today. We start on Capitol Hill, where Dr. Anthony Fauci appeared before a Senate committee for a contentious COVID-19 origins hearing. Fauci invoked the Fifth Amendment 111 times, declining to answer questions about gain-of-function research and his conduct during the pandemic. Senator Rand Paul announced the committee will vote next week on a contempt resolution against him. The coverage reveals starkly different framings of the same event. NPR and BBC report Fauci's concern that Paul was trying to get him to say something that could expose him to perjury charges. The Guardian, by contrast, characterized the hearing less as a substantive investigation into COVID origins and more as a forum for recrimination, noting that Fauci accused Paul of having an unhinged obsession with him. Fox News led with dramatic moments from the hearing, including Senator Bernie Moreno erupting with an expletive and Paul ejecting Fauci's lawyer from the room. Meanwhile, the Daily Wire included an opinion piece stating Fauci had betrayed his profession and the American people. What all outlets agree on, this hearing deepened political divisions over the pandemic rather than producing new answers about its origins. Turning to judicial confirmations, Todd Blanche's nomination as U.S. Attorney General hit an unexpected roadblock this week when Republican senators withheld support. Senator John Cornyn demanded written assurance that a $1.8 billion fund, which critics call an anti-weaponization slush fund, would be definitively off the table. Senator Tom Tillis separately demanded written proposals to modify a Trump-era IRS settlement. The Department of Justice did not provide those assurances ahead of a scheduled Thursday vote, forcing the Senate Judiciary Committee to postpone the confirmation. NPR and the Washington Examiner reported the postponement straightforwardly as a setback in Blanche's confirmation process. Fox News emphasized the specific demands from Cornyn and Tillis regarding the IRS settlement. The Guardian framed the nomination as being in jeopardy, suggesting Blanche may lack the votes to advance. What's noteworthy here is that Republican senators themselves, not Democrats, are the ones creating friction in Blanche's path. In monetary policy, the Federal Reserve held interest rates steady this week in what was far from a routine decision. The Federal Open Market Committee voted 9-3 to keep rates unchanged at 3.5% to 3.75%. What made this significant? It was the first time in a decade that three board members dissented. Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammack, Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari, and Dallas Fed President Lori Logan all preferred a quarter-point rate increase. Following the announcement, the yield on the 30-year U.S. Treasury bond jumped to nearly 5.24%, its highest level since 2007. Bloomberg characterized the bond market's reaction as a warning to Fed Chair Kevin Warsh that tough talk is not enough on inflation, essentially suggesting the market is losing confidence in the Fed's credibility. The Guardian reported the decision feeds fears the Fed may not be moving fast enough to tame rising inflation. Axios highlighted that the Fed elected not to surprise markets with a hike despite rampant speculation on Wall Street. The takeaway: the central bank is caught between competing pressures, and markets are clearly skeptical about the Fed's resolve on inflation. Moving to the Middle East, U.S. Central Command announced a heavy wave of airstrikes against Iran beginning Wednesday evening, targeting dozens of sites belonging to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. This was retaliation for an Iranian missile attack on a U.S. base in Jordan the day before. The U.S. military said all incoming Iranian missiles were intercepted, but video from Iran's Keshem Island showed widespread damage, and Iranian media reported that a couple and their 2-year-old child were killed there. The coverage splits notably along geographic lines. NPR and BBC reported the escalation factually, noting that both sides had restarted missile attacks after a brief pause in hostilities. Al Jazeera provided detailed reporting on the civilian deaths and extensive damage on Keshem Island, details that Western outlets mentioned less prominently. Zero Hedge reported that oil prices climbed following the strikes and included detail on joint U.S.-Saudi strikes in Iraq that killed at least 20 militants. What's significant across all outlets? These strikes came after President Trump had paused the bombing campaign just days earlier to allow negotiations to proceed. That's the Parallax 4.